Today we're building a mid bass from scratch in Ableton Live 12, then distorting it into that crunchy old-school jungle and DNB zone. This is the kind of bass that doesn't just sit there. It pushes the track forward, talks back to the break, and brings that grimy, sampled energy that makes classic jungle feel alive. The big idea here is simple. Don't think of the bass as just a synth patch. Think of it as a performance that gets printed, chopped, and reworked. That's the move. That's how you get a bass that feels rugged, musical, and properly at home in a break-led tune. Let's start clean. Create a new MIDI track and load Waveatable or Operator. If you want a straightforward old-school starting point, Waveatable is a great choice. Set oscillator 1 to a saw wave, set oscillator 2 to saw or square, and attune it just a little. Keep the unison low, maybe 2 to 4 voices max. We're not trying to make a huge super saw. We want a thick core with enough movement to survive distortion later. Keep the amp envelope snappy. Fast attack, short decay, and a lower sustain if you want that stabby jungle phrasing. Right away, this helps the bass behave more like a rhythmic instrument and less like a held synth line. In jungle and dark DNB, that rhythm really matters. Now write a simple MIDI pattern. Don't overcomplicate it. Start with a root note, maybe one octave jump, and a couple of passing notes if needed. A lot of classic DNB bass lines are built on repetition and tension, not fancy harmony. The groove is the hook. Quick teacher note here, tune the bass against the sub later, not in isolation. A patch can sound enormous soloed and still clash badly once the kick and sub arrive. Always think in context. Now shape the tone before you distort it. Drop an auto filter right after the instrument. Try low pass or band pass, depending on whether you want a smoother or more nasal mid. Start with the cutoff somewhere in the low to mid range, around 120 to 400 Hz, and keep resonance modest. A little envelope amount can help the notes speak with more bite. Then add saturator. Push the drive a bit, maybe 3 to 8 dB to start, and turn on soft clip. That gives the source some harmonic content before the main distortion stage. This is important. Distorting a clean, sterile signal often just makes harshness. Distorting a harmonically alive signal gives you thickness, grit, and control. Now we go harder. Add a distortion chain. You can use Roar if you want Live 12 more aggressive color options, or keep it modular with overdrive, saturator, and amp. A practical chain might be overdrive first, then saturator, then Roar or amp, then EQ8. With overdrive, start around the mid-range, somewhere between 400 Hz and 1.2 kHz, and bring the drive up gradually. Then add more saturator drive if needed. Don't chase maximum dirt right away. What you want is that grainy mid-range bark, where the bass gets nasty but still has note shape. That note shape is everything in jungle. The bass often has to answer the drums. If it becomes a wall of fuzz, you lose the call and response energy that makes the style work. Now listen carefully and shape the upper mids with EQ8. If the distortion gets too sharp around 2.5 to 5 kHz, tame it. You're aiming for character, not ear fatigue. The bass should feel mean, not messy. At this point, it's time to print the sound. This is where the sampling first workflow really starts to shine. Create a new audio track, set the input to your bass track, arm it, and resample a few passes. Record one pass with a cleaner setting, one with more distortion, one with filter movement, and one with longer note tails. The goal is to capture options. Print with intent. Decide whether each pass is for tone, rhythm, or transition. That decision will guide how you use it later. Once you've got the audio, trim the clips tightly. No dead air. In old-school DNB, bass edits are often punchy and economical. The more tightly you edit, the more the part feels like a proper sampled performance. Now treat that audio like jungle source material. You can slice it to a new MIDI track if you want to play the hits from pads, or you can manually chop it into regions and arrange them on the timeline. Either way, start thinking in hits, not just notes. Treat the mid-bass like percussion. A really effective jungle phrase might hit on beat 1, answer on the offbeat, hold into beat 3, then leave a gap for the break to breathe. That space is huge. In DNB, silence can hit just as hard as the bass itself. If you want, load the resample into simpler. One-shot or classic mode both work well here. Tighten the start and end points, and if the top gets too fizzy, roll it back a little with the filter. You can also use glide if you want some sliding motion, but don't overdo it unless you're going for a more obvious bass lead effect. Next, we build the sub. Keep this separate and clean. Use operator or Waveatable with a sine, or a very simple triangle-based sub. Mono only. No widening. No heavy distortion. Just solid low-end support. If needed, low pass the sub around 80 to 120 Hz and keep the compression gentle. If the kick is fighting the bass, sidechain the sub slightly with compressor or glue compressor. The sub owns the fundamentals. The mid bass owns the attitude. That split is non-negotiable if you want a tight DNB low end. If the distorted mid bass is too heavy in the low range, high pass it somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz. The exact point depends on the sound, but the idea is always the same. Keep the sub clean and let the mid bass carry the grime. Now add movement. Use auto filter automation, shaper style movement, or clip envelopes to keep the phrase alive. Maybe the filter opens a little more every second phrase. Maybe the distortion drive rises on the last note of a four-bar loop. Maybe the resonance bumps up right before the drop lands. If you've grouped the devices into an audio effect rack, map a few macro controls. Distortion amount, filter cutoff, drive frequency, output trim, maybe width on an upper layer if you have one. That gives you performance control, which is perfect for arrangement automation and live tweaking. A really nice trick in this style is contrast. Don't keep the bass equally dirty all the time. A grimy bass hits harder when it follows a cleaner phrase. If every bar is maxed out, nothing feels special anymore. Now let's integrate it with the drums. Drop the bass against a jungle break or a tight DNB drum loop and listen to how they interact. If the break is busy, simplify the bass. Fewer notes often sound heavier, because the ear can track the hits more clearly. Try to leave space for the snare transients and any signature break fills. You can use groove pull to nudge the bass toward the feel of the break if needed. And if the bass is crowding the kick, use sidechain compression or envelope shaping to make room. The point is not just to make the bass sound cool soloed. The point is to make the whole drop breathe. Now we turn it into an arrangement element. Make at least three versions of the bass. One can be your main usable phrase, another can be more damaged with extra distortion or filtering, and the third can be a transition version made from reverse edits, chopped fragments, or high-passed hits. Use these versions across the tune. Maybe the intro teases filtered bass fragments. The first drop uses the cleaner call-and-response phrase. The second drop brings in the more damaged resample. Then a switch-up section can go half-time, or stripped back with a different chop pattern. That kind of variation keeps the tune moving. It also gives the bass a story arc, which is especially important in jungle and old-school DNB, where the energy often comes from evolution, not from one static loop. Before wrapping up, do a proper mix check. Use EQ8 to clean up unnecessary rumble and smooth harsh peaks. Use utility if you need to tighten the width or control gain. Check the bass in mono early, because club systems will expose phase problems fast. Make sure the mid bass isn't stealing the sub's job, and make sure the sub isn't getting gritty by accident. A few things to watch out for here. Don't distort the sub. Don't make the bass too wide. Don't overprocess before resampling, and don't leave the notes so long that they step all over the break. In this style, tight editing is part of the sound. If you want to push it further, try a parallel distortion layer. Duplicate the bass. Filter the copy so it only carries mids and highs, then blend it under the cleaner core. That's a great way to get aggression without destroying the main body of the sound. You can also split the signal by frequency, keep the lower mids smoother, and hit the upper mids harder. That preserves weight while increasing bite. Another pro move is to make a second bounce with harder clipping, then blend that as a separate layer. Sometimes that sounds more organic than one giant processing chain. It gives you a more sampled, hardware-like feel, which fits old-school jungle perfectly. For homework, build a three-version bass pack from one source sound. Make a clean usable mid-bass, a damaged resample, and a transition version. Use the same break loop for all three. Check them in mono, automate at least one parameter, and make sure each version serves a different role in the arrangement. So the takeaway is this. In DNB, especially jungle and darker rollers, the best mid-basses are not just sounds, they're edited performances. Start simple, add harmonics, distort with intent, resample, chop, and let the bass play with the drums instead of just sitting underneath them. That's how you get that crunchy, old-school pressure with modern Ableton precision. Now go build it. Print it and make it rude.